Open lines here on Coast to Coast. We'll get right to the calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, and thanks for joining us again tonight. And we've got some great shows for you all weekend long. And then we'll start the week again for you as we get rolling along here. Let's move to Annie in Alabama is with us. Hello there, Annie.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I apologize for the quality of the phone way down here, but I'm way underground.
How far deep are you?
Oh, I'm not allowed to say.
Where are you?
I'm not allowed to say.
Why are you there?
I'm not allowed to say, George. Let's talk about something else, can we, please?
Are you there on your own volition, or have you been kidnapped or something?
No, I was not kidnapped.
Okay, so you're deep underground. You're somewhere on your own, deep underground, hiding for some reason. All right.
If I wasn't, I'd just say, no, I'm not. But, yep, I'm here because I want to be here.
Okay.
And I'm calling because I have a solution to a problem that faces millions of people who need the coronavirus vaccine the worst. These are the people that are in the worst condition. The sickest people can't get it because I have a solution for that, but they can't get it because they can't get out. They're homebound.
They're afraid to go out.
Doctors recommend that they not get around anybody. They have conditions that are so serious that it would be a death sentence or probably a sure hospital admission anyway if they were to get it.
Too bad they can't have like a van going door to door.
Nurses and pharmacy assistants and people that give the shots need to go out and give the shot to the people at their house. That's the solution. How's that?
Like doctors used to make house calls. Same kind of thing. That could work. Trouble is with this, you really have to have it at a certain temperature, and I'm not sure they're equipped to do that if they keep driving all over the place. But it is a problem for a lot of people who just don't want to go out anymore. I mean, it's a big problem. Let's go next to Helena in the state of New Jersey. Hi, Helena. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. Actually, the last time I spoke to you was on Veterans Day, and I told you about my father, may he rest in peace, who served in Tinian.
That's right. It was a
but
great
I
call.
I didn't have a chance to say the importance of Tinian. That's where the two bombers, one bound for Nagasaki and one for Hiroshima, took off from.
That's exactly right. No, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, that's not why I'm calling. About 6 years ago, unfortunately, since my mother passed 28 years ago, I have had power to foresee the future.
Really?
Yes, and I say unfortunately for a reason. And when I share the incident with you, maybe you'll understand.
Okay, go ahead.
6 years ago, this June will be 6 years, I was woken at 4:30 in the morning. Now, I am an early riser, but I was awoken by what seemed to be curtains rustling, you know, being pulled.
Okay.
Now, I don't have curtains in my room. I have shades.
All right.
And when I pull myself up to a sitting position in bed, I can see a spotlight that my neighbor has in their backyard. You know, it shines in the window.
It kind of glares
I could
through.
Not see the spotlight. It was as if there was like a blackened curtain over the window.
Okay.
And I couldn't imagine what was going on. I could not see the spotlight. And at that point, I turned my radio on, and there were three, high school boys in Israel that had been missing since the beginning of the month. The first thing I heard on the news was that they found their bodies.
Oh, gosh. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
And unfortunately, I've had other incidents similar to this, and they're all negative. That's why I use the word unfortunate.
I mean, do you know what these events are going to be?
No.
Well, but how do you know you're if you don't know what they're going to be, you're not predicting them, right?
Well, I mean, I knew that they were missing. The boys were missing.
Right.
they had, you know, they were looking for them for since the beginning of the month.
I know, but I don't see your connection to the story.
All right, but the fact that I was awoken by what I thought was a curtain being pulled.
What does that have to do with the three missing boys?
That the curtain, the pulling, the curtain, or the sound of the curtain, signified the end. I mean, that's the way I interpret it.
Interesting. I think I'm not going to give you the points on this yet because I don't see the tie-in between this. If you turn on the radio anytime, Helena, anytime, you're going to hear from a local station or a national broadcast some tragedy. Something's going to happen. So I don't know how you could tie in what you think you saw with the curtains, of which you didn't have, and the three young and dead boys. I just don't see it on that one. But keep checking in, and let's see what happens. Now, if you were to tell me you had a vision of three dead boys and you heard it on the radio, then I'd say you're on to something. Let's go to Eric, truck driving in Indiana. Hello, Eric.
George!
How's my buddy? What's up?
Doing good. Anyway, I was telling Tommy that I had a suggestion that I think would make for a very lively show of three individuals who had actually been guests on Coast to Coast at one time or another. And I think there are certain topics they would all agree on. There might be one or two that they could be on very opposite sides of the spectrum, but they're all very well-educated men. And I think it would be for a very lively show. And, of course, George could be the moderator.
Okay.
And those three individuals would be David Hatchett Childress, Graham Hancock, and Kent Hovind. Think that would make for a very lively show.
And we could talk about ancient archaeology and things like that?
Ancient archaeology, cryptozoology, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, it's like David and Graham, you know, with all their world studies, and those two gentlemen, they have explored places that most people don't even know exist, especially David. He has been a world traveler. He's referred to as the real-life Indiana Jones and this kind of thing. Kent Hovind is a very well-educated man. He's on the spectrum that the Earth is only about 6,000 years old. But cryptozoology, he's all over it. He's traveled the world over. And a lot of these places within the last 30, 40 years that have been rediscovered, and what I mean by that is, when they have been able to find these ruins underwater, where it be under the ocean, the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. and in one of David Hatchett Childress' books that I read, I think it was his Lost City series of South America, and they said that one of those lakes down there, of course, they would use those long poles to pole across the lakes, and they said when the lake was actually low, you could look down and you could see the roofs of buildings, and you're like, well, how did that happen? Well,
whoa.
It used to be a valley, and then it got flooded. And just like the ruins off of Yonaguni, Japan,
mm-hmm.
that was found by the Japanese shark fisherman,
right.
which Graham, he wrote a book on that called Underworld, and he has a video.
Very
where
good.
They go down there, and they show all these different ruins all over the world. These things keep being rediscovered. And I'm thinking, well, they have been over the centuries, thousands of years, there have been avalanches as well that have completely buried one-time civilizations that have been rediscovered. And I'm thinking, just think of all the ones that haven't been discovered. And, of course, what Kent Hovind talks about is basically, you know, the stuff that's in the Bible. Of course, that happened over in the Middle East in that area. But then you have places that Graham and David, what they talk about is stuff that happened over here in the Americas, North America, South America, Canada, and the things that happened here weren't even mentioned in the Bible because that was for that region. And I think these three gentlemen get on the show and could make for a very lively and educational debate. And I wanted to toss that to you, George, and see what you thought.
Great idea, Eric. We'll pass it on with Lisa and Tom, and we'll kick it around and maybe two of them, because three might be too many, but two might be interesting. Text and tweets. What do we have, Tommy?
This one from Marta in Idaho. Do you think good luck is chance or can you manifest it?
Well, if you listen to Joseph Gallenberger, our guest mm-hmm. we had on this week, mm-hmm. you can make your own luck. And I think it happens. I mean, you've been to Vegas a couple times, right?
Yep, sure have.
Have you ever been there in a great mood and you win, and then a not so great mood for whatever reason and you lose?
Yeah, yeah.
That's happened, right?
It's happened because I plan on losing, so you have a good time.
What do you mean you plan on losing?
Well, what I mean by that is people that go to Vegas with more money than they can afford to lose don't have a good time when they lose.
No, it's a horrible time if you lose.
But if you take what you have and you say, if I lose this, I'll be okay, that's my opinion, the way to do Vegas.
You can do that?
Sure.
Of course, you only bring $30 with you. Thanks, Tom. East of the Rockies, Russell in Maine. Go ahead, Russ.
Good morning, George. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
But I've been listening for a long time.
Appreciate it. How are things in the state of Maine?
Well, actually, I live right on the coast, and we have had no winter here yet, which is I'm right next door to Acadia National Park.
Okay. Yet, that's the key word, yet.
Yes. I was curious. Back several months ago, 3 months, you had a guest on, an archaeologist, and they had recently rediscovered a city in the Honduran jungles, as I recall. And I know they went there, a group of them, to do some, you know, research.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard anything about it since.
It's time for us to do a follow-up. Great idea on something like that. And I think they were working on publishing some works, and I don't know if that's done yet, but we'll check on that, Russell. We'll do that. Thanks for that. Great possibility. Joe in Boston. Hey, Joseph, welcome.
Hey, George. Good morning. How you doing? I want to talk about three things. I want to give my best to Cornelius and the other guy. I hope that someday I can get some help, too, because I'm all alone, too, like they are. I don't do Facebook. I wanted to mention about this, what was it, National Guard? I think that's a disgrace. I think it was done at the White House, and a lot of the media isn't covering it. That's the first thing I wanted to mention briefly. I think that's a disgrace, and there needs to be people that did that needs to be fired. I'm glad there's one congressman that brought 100 pieces. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, do you know a guest that lives off hydrogen? He was on with Richard Syrett, Mike Strizky. You may want to have him on. He's in New Jersey, where I'm from. And I want to say hi to all my friends, Glenn and everybody. Mike Strizky, he lives off hydrogen and solar. He makes his own hydrogen. His home, his car is electric. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, why don't you maybe have him on? I mean, see how much it costs to do a home. You'd save a lot of money. He makes his car. He can go 300 miles, and he can make hydrogen as he drives. And that's really amazing. He's got a YouTube. And when are you coming up to Boston? Because I know you invited me as your guest. I still want to meet you.
When
guys.
COVID goes away, we'd love to do a live stage show in Boston.
You know, George, we've got to stop this country. Cuomo said the other day, if we don't open up, we'll have nothing to open up to. I wish we get a law passed that this would never happen again. Just treatment, there's stuff
out there.
Well,
they're beginning to say now that the lockdowns might be creating more COVID.
Yes, I knew this because look, Taiwan is opened, and they're packed in there like sardines. You know, that's a small island.
Oh, absolutely.
They have very little COVID out there in Taiwan.
Yep.
They got herd immunity. But I'll try and keep in touch. I hope that you can be of some help to me because I've got hip problems now and lung problems. And oh Lord!
Well, we're here. How old are you, Joe?
73. I'm as old as some of your callers.
Were you born out in the Boston area?
No, I was born in New Jersey, broken home family. You know that I came up here, went to school.
Okay.
To get away from my family. They all separated. Two brothers, which make a lot of money, don't help me at all.
Have you become a Boston Red Sox fan?
Yeah, I like the Red Sox, but I don't know whether they'll play this year with people in the stands.
I would hope so. We lost Hank Aaron today. He was one of the best, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very, very good, and he was humble. He was nice. He wasn't nasty.
He was a class guy, to be sure. Kathy's in Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you. When I was a young child, we was playing outside my backyard in the woods behind my family home.
All right.
And there was this mound there, and it always had like a stagnant pit in it. And one day, me and my sister and my two neighbors was playing on it, and we dug out this enormous skull. It was very heavy. It was huge. We could barely carry it. We were all very young. And so we tried to carry it through my yard, and we never heard anything about it. I guess our moms called the cops or something. I don't know. I was like 8 or 9. But we never saw it again.
What happened to it?
It weighed a ton. It took all four of us to carry it from the back of the yard. It was like 10 feet outside my backyard and through the yard, and we don't know what happened to it, but it was not a regular skull. It was super heavy like marble.
Jeez. Like crystal?
I don't know if it was crystal or not, but it was enormously huge. Like twice the size of a normal skull.
That could be crystal. If it looked like marble, it could have been crystal. And you could have been onto something fantastic. Agoura Hills we go. Walt's Witt is with us. Is that your name, Witt? Is that what I got?
That's right. It's Witt.
Great. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm sorry I'm on the wild card.
That's all right. What got you to call?
Well, I'm part of the... targeted individuals, cyber stalking, it goes by many terms. It's kind of a covert thing that's taking place in this country. I'm sure you're aware of it. Most people are, and most of my community is dismissed as schizophrenic and crazy, which is absolutely absurd. There's a list of PhDs and scientists and physicists that are experiencing the same treatment as I've been getting, and some of them really well known, and you've had some guests on there that actually have talked about it. It hasn't been covered extensively, and part of the reason is the media is they're bought and sold, and they're not reporting the news.
They're not.
Almost every day about what they don't cover. It's because the news isn't the news anymore, George. It used to be 20 years ago, but not any longer.
No, those days are gone, Whit. They're gone.
Yep. So I really just wanted to kind of throw that out there, that there's a community of at least 3 million people worldwide dealing with the same phenomenon. It's not conspiracy theory, George. This is conspiracy, period. And for local law enforcement, police, sheriff, whatever, to dismiss people like myself as being schizophrenic or are you under the care of a shrink is absolutely absurd.
Well, see, that's their easy way out, to be able to say something like that. And there are so many Americans who are being bombarded with some of the strangest things going, and nobody understands. Nobody will listen to them. Nobody will believe them. Well, you got a voice here, Witt, so, check in with us. And I hope you're okay, and I hope everything's clicking along for you, to be sure. And... gosh, that's something else. And we're going to take a break in just a moment and come back and talk about angels on Coast to Coast. But I do want to invite you all again to sign up for our free YouTube channel. I want to push that over the top. We're almost at 400,000 subscribers. It's free. Just go to YouTube in the search bar, put Coast to Coast AM Official, and hit the subscribe button and do what you have to do, and you'll get some great information. We love that. And so we'll be back in a moment as we talk about angels on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. You know, there are many of us who believe in angels, of course. I had a chance to talk to Tanya Carol Richardson about their real existence.
And angels really are around us all the time, and they're constantly sending us guidance in the form of synchronicities, trying to talk to us through our own intuition, through aha ideas or gut instincts, or even visiting us in dreams.
How do we know it's an angel that's helping us as opposed to something else?
Well, angels are never going to say anything scary or anything threatening. So that's a good indication. I have clairaudience, which is one of the four clairs that psychics use to gather information. And clairaudience is where you hear a voice in your head. So when an angel is talking, and that's what I hear in my head with my clairaudient voice, it's always a very calm, soothing voice. And even when it's telling you something you don't want to hear, like this person may not be right for you, or watch your back in this financial situation, it never tells you anything in a scary or threatening way. The only exception to that is sometimes people have been crossing the street and perhaps maybe a bus is coming and they don't see it, and they can hear their own name and someone say, get out of the way. So that's the only time an angel would ever speak to you that way.
Would an angel physically push you out of the way to save you?
Yes, definitely. Angels push people out of the way. They save people from drowning. There's a lot of farmers who, you know, farming is, we need the farmers. We're so blessed to have them. But it can be a dangerous job sometimes because of the equipment. So occasionally there are accidents on a farm. And many times farmers will say they will feel someone pull them out of harm's way with a piece of equipment just in time.
You know, we are blessed with so many hardworking, dedicated Americans, Tanya, who are either first responders, truck drivers, medical professionals, farmers, as you just mentioned, people who are just there for us all the time, firefighters and police officers. It's truly remarkable that they're almost like angels, aren't they?
Yes, they're what we call earth angels. So I think there are certain people who, we're all here as souls to be of service, to help humans, to help each other, to accomplish certain things, and also just to have experiences, to learn and grow. But there are certain people I call earth angels who came here with a little bit, with a kind of a special mission, where they're really here to help guide and protect and support humans. And these people that you're talking about are earth angels, and sometimes we take them for granted. You know, we're so used to having them around, but angels never take them for granted, and angels never take any of us for granted. They're really always around us.
The new book, Angel Intuition, what would you like listeners and readers to get when they read this book?
Well, I wanted people to know a little bit behind the scenes what it's like to be a professional intuitive or psychic, which is what I am. I wanted to teach people about angels, different types of angels, how you can better connect to them so you can get more divine guidance and feel closer to angels. And really, I wanted to help people improve their own intuition or sixth sense, which we all have.
You know, it is remarkable, biblically speaking, for a moment now, Tanya, how the Bible talks about angels and, of course, the fallen angels as well. You stay away from those, don't you?
Well, you know, the reason I do, George, is because I really have no experience with it. So it's something I can't speak to because I haven't really ever had an encounter with, quote unquote, a dark or negative energy. The closest I've had with that is I have had people come to me, clients who have had ghosts in the home that were causing a little bit of havoc, where they were turning the lights on and off, turning the TV on and off. And especially the sensitive people in the household were, you know, sometimes people were even able to see a ghost. So it was upsetting some of the people in the household. So I've been able to help move those souls onto the light and transition them onto the next dimension we commonly refer to as heaven. But, you know, the interesting thing is the way that you do that is not to meet the ghost with any kind of negative or intense energy. You really want to meet them with an energy of unconditional love and realize that they are probably confused or suffering, or in some way they've gotten trapped here when they really need to move on. So if you do have any kind of ghost in the home, sometimes people will say, oh, I saged the whole house and I kept telling them, get out, get out. And I always say, oh, no, that's the worst energy. Because as you know, people often mirror your energy back to you. If you go to your boss in the morning and you're really angry, there's a chance your boss will have an aggressive attitude back. So people tend to mirror the energy they're met with, and ghosts are the same. So we really want to come to them with a feeling of unconditional love. You can call in angels to help and try not to pay attention to them. If they are turning lights off and on, you know, they're trying to get your attention, so you don't want to give it to them.
Can a human who dies eventually become, in the spirit world, an angel, or are angels totally different entities?
That's a really interesting question and a very common question. Sometimes clients will say, my favorite grandmother just recently passed, and is she an angel now watching over me from heaven? And of course, I always say, I'm communicating with angels all the time with my clients and when I'm writing books, but of course, I'm just a human, so I don't have all the answers. But the angels, when I asked them about this, told me that they are like cousins to humans. So a different species, for lack of better words. So there's a similarity there. I think that angels are not just one-dimensional genies in a bottle that are there to grant you wishes. They are dynamic beings, just like humans are. They have, you know, energetic hearts and souls and personalities, but they are definitely different than humans from what they have told me. So from my understanding, angels cannot become humans. Humans cannot become angels. It's two different things. When grandma, for example, does pass over to the other side, she can become your spirit guide. And spirit guides are people who, human souls who were once on earth, who've now chosen to hang out in heaven for a while and help guide people from there.
Will she put in a good word for us?
Yes, definitely.
I sure hope so.
And she'll work closely with your angels. So you have a whole spiritual guidance squad that's made up of many different entities.
Tanya, you had an angelic experience. Tell us more about that.
Yes, one time, like I said, George, I communicate with angels all day, and especially when I'm in sessions with clients. But once I actually saw an angel with my physical eyes, which was very interesting and jarring, and you were speaking about biblical matters before, and in the Bible, they always say the first thing an angel says to people is, fear not. And the reason is because it's quite disarming to have suddenly someone with huge feather wings and a white robe and ringlet hair appear in your bedroom. And, you know, it's interesting because I could make out this angel's features very clearly. It looked like a female, like a woman, and they had these huge feather wings. They were just absolutely enormous, and I could see all the intricate feathers in them. Yet it was as if this being was transparent. So I didn't attempt to do this, of course, but I felt that I could have put my hand through it. That was the level of transparency. So that was just a reminder to me that angels are from another dimension, and it's a dimension unlike Earth, where everything on Earth exists in this dense physical matter. And the dimension that angels are from, things don't exist in that dense physical matter form.
Does everyone have an angel following them or ready to step in to help them?
Yes, the angel. Actually, everyone has many angels. So you have several guardian angels who were assigned to you before you were even born. In the book Angel Intuition, I also explain how not only can you connect with your guardian angels to try and get more guidance from them, you can also call in helper angels who are kind of like freelance angels who specialize in all different kinds of things, just like humans specialize. So angels could specialize in emotional healing or even in helping people find the perfect home. And you can call in a helper angel to help you with something specific. And I first mentioned helper angels in my book, Angel Insights, that came out in 2016. And that was some of the strongest feedback I got from people, being that, Tanya, I hired a helper angel and I got through the line at the DMV in record time, or I got the best deal on this car when I hired a helper angel to assist me with it. So don't be afraid to call in a helper angel. And then, of course, there are the archangels. Archangel Michael is probably the most popular one. They're also there ready and waiting to help you at any time.
What about people like Jeffrey Dahmer, murderer, serial killer, Adolf Hitler, a butcher? I mean, where did their angels fail?
Well, it's something that I talk about. I don't shy away from this subject because I think it's the elephant in the room.
And it's real. It's real.
Yeah. It's real, and it can keep people from believing in angels or believing that there is someone out there watching out for us. The problem is that angels exist, again, in another dimension that we commonly refer to as heaven, and they only have visas, kind of, to visit this dimension. So they don't have carte blanche in this dimension. We always forget as humans that we are very powerful spiritual beings. We were gifted with free will, and the angels are no more powerful, really, than we are. And I think they very much admire us and respect us, and that's why they've chosen to help us with our life missions. So sometimes the angels have told me in certain circumstances their wings are tied. And when we talk about these kind of events, I think it's you really can't have a black and white or blanket answer. You need to look at it event by event, person by person, and take into account people's free will choices, soul contracts they have, different forces that are sweeping through the entire world, affecting everyone. So these are very complex, nuanced answers that have to be taken on a case-by-case basis. The one thing that I know for sure is that angels love you. They want to help you as much as they can. And even when they cannot step in and stop something and, you know, in a dramatic way and just stop an event or pull that farmer out of harm's way, they do everything in their power to positively affect the outcome. They might warn family and friends, hey, this person isn't mentally stable, they're thinking of getting a gun. You know, they do everything that they can to try and affect the situation. So it's always worth connecting with your angels, because even if they can't stop a consequence, say, of one of your actions, they can help soften the blow of it.
With most angels that seem to step in when you're about ready to have some kind of controversy or chaos, biblically speaking now, what happened to the fallen angels? Because the Bible says they got jealous of humans because of God's love of us. What happened?
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, again, I've never connected with that sort of quote-unquote angel, so I cannot really speak to that. You know, all the angels, the thing about angels is I think that they are dynamic spiritual beings, just like humans are. So they have their own personalities, they feel things deeply, they have their own souls and their own soul contracts and destinies, just like we do. But every angel I've ever connected with has really had a strong sense of unconditional love and wanting to be of service. So I don't have any frame of reference or personal experience with those other types of angels.
Tell us about the spiritual guidance squad.
Yeah, that's a wonderful phrase I use in. Yeah, people do seem to like that in the angel intuition. And it's just letting you know that there are actually a lot of entities out there ready and willing to help you. They'll help you even if you don't call on them. But because we are humans with really strong free will, the more you ask an angel or anyone on your spiritual guidance squad to help you just in a quick thought or say a prayer, a meditation, a journal entry, the more it gives them power to come in and help you in your life. And on your spiritual guidance squad, I explain this in angel intuition, there are ascended masters like Jesus, Mother Mary, Buddha. There are archangels. We talked about Archangel Michael is probably the most well-known. Gabriel, Uriel, Ariel are other well-known archangels. You have your guardian angels. You have your helper angels, which we talked about earlier. You have spirit guides. You might have some spirit animals on that team. And, of course, you have loved ones who have passed on and have chosen to watch over you from the other side. You also have your higher self, which is your own soul and a part of you that is still connected to spirit and still kind of has an idea of what you plan to do before you came here. You know, I always say that as humans, it's almost like our minds were erased when we came down to earth, but I think our heart remembers. Our heart is the soul's memory, and your own higher self is still connected to spirit and still kind of knows what the game plan was down here and can see the bigger picture. And then, of course, there's spirit itself.
Tanya Richardson with us. Tanya, do you communicate with angels?
Yes, I use the four clairs, which I talk about in Angel Intuition. That is clairaudience, where you get the voice in your head. You're hearing a voice. Angels are communicating with you that way. I also use clairvoyance. That is, a lot of people describe psychics as clairvoyant, but it's really just one of the psychic pathways. It's where you see images in your mind that explain things. Claircognizance is the intellectual clair. That's where you get downloads from heaven of large chunks of information. You kind of just know something and you have no explanation how you know it besides your intuition. And then clairsentience is the most common clair. That is where you feel things. You get intuitive information through feelings, through gut instincts, or feeling the energy of other people or the energy of a room. So I use all of those in my daily life, and especially when I am in a session with a client. But in the book Angel Intuition, I give you a lot of information and exercises to play with those clairs, and then also the 11 magical ways that angels send you guidance, synchronicities, words, you know, angel numbers, wise words from loved ones, or sometimes you're just in the supermarket and you overhear someone saying something that really pertains to a situation you're going through, and you think, oh my gosh, I feel like an angel whispered that to that person so they'd say it so I'd hear it.
Do angels send you messages then, like you just mentioned, through other people sometimes?
Yes, it's one of the angels' favorite ways to do it because it's such a direct way to contact you.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Liam Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.